Hello, you found the weekly podcast from Radio Today. I'm Trevor Dann. Stuart Clarkson has the news, David Lloyd's scrolling through some more radio moments, and I've been talking to one of UK radio's best-known off-air personalities. He's been a fixture at radio events for three decades, and after a notable career including spells at RCS and Arkiva, he's leaving us to strike out towards pastures new. He is Ben Hart. He's going to lots of meetings at the moment, as you can imagine, and I found him in his car on the way to one of them.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics. Innovative solutions for creative radio people.
Ben Hart, 30 years in radio and you're calling it a day. You're going to miss it, aren't you?
Well, absolutely, Trevor. I mean, I'm one of the, I feel like one of the luckiest people. My journey in radio has been something that I've enjoyed every moment of. And I couldn't quite believe that 30 years had gone so quickly. You're right, I'm going to miss it. I think radio is a fantastic, vibrant industry. You know, I love the people who I've worked with and the customers and the people at the radio stations. The passion that you see within radio, both in the commercial sector and in the BBC, is just absolutely immense, and somewhere where I've never seen that level of passion before. So no, definitely, I'm gonna miss it. I'm absolutely gonna miss it. You're right.
When did you first get bitten by the radio bug? It was Radio Mercury, wasn't it?
So that's right. Like many sort of interested people in radio, I sort of thought, well, the best place to start is my local radio station. So that was Radio Mercury, based in Crawley at Broadfield House at the time, which is a magnificent old building overlooking a lake. And I wrote to that radio station. I wrote to Steve Hyland, who did the Soul Show on Saturday night, and waited sort of a couple of weeks. And this magical evening, I remember it clearly because my father came through to my bedroom and said to me, there's a telephone call for you. And this was back in the day when you had two telephones at home, one in the sitting room downstairs, which was the one that the children were allowed to use, and one in your parents' bedroom, which you weren't allowed to use. And he said to me, it's Steve Hyland on the phone from Radio Mercury, and if you want to, you can take the call in our bedroom. So I went through and picked up the phone, and I, you know, still when I tell this story, get emotional about it, because I just couldn't quite believe it, that someone was actually phoning me up, you know, responding to a letter. I thought it was absolutely magical. And I had a chat with Steve, and he said, look, you know, would you like to come in and fit in on my show? And I couldn't quite believe it. I think I must have been preparing all week for that trip to Crawley as a sort of, you know, 16, 17-year-old, and going into the radio station and sitting in there and watching him do his show from 6 to 9.
And at that point, Ben, were you thinking of yourself as a potential DJ of the future?
I think that's what I thought I wanted to do. I understood from a very early age that you had to be very talented and you had to have something special and you had to have that desirability factor where the program controllers or program directors would spot. So I knew that, but I didn't know whether I really, really had that or not. So I sort of started helping out at the radio station, doing whatever I could, whether that would be, you know, washing the sales cars or, you know, tidying up the goodie van, helping out an outside broadcast. Any of those jobs, you know, those sort of terrible jobs that needed to be done, you know, came my way.
What attracted you to RCS? That was the company you were working for when I think most of us got to know you.
RCS was somewhere where I was for 8 years. And that business, I mean, at the time, prior to joining RCS, I was running a business that was selling the Enco Dad product, which was a competing playout system to Master Control, which was then the RCS playout system. And it was actually Mike Powell who phoned me up at Enco and said, look, you're quite a disruptive young man. You seem to be taking a lot of our business away. And we've got this wonderful suite of products, whereas you're only selling one product. So why don't you come and see if you can come and work your magic here? And I obviously was well aware of the Heritage Selector product, which, you know, is still widely used and widely respected within our industry as being one of the great music scheduling tools. And I thought, well, wow, this is really going to the biggest and the best, so I should seize this opportunity. And I joined RCS back in 2003.
Of course, since those days, a lot of competitors have emerged in the playout world. From the perspective you've now got, is Selectra Master Control still the brand leader?
I think definitely RCS are up there as you know, as one of the top two companies in that sector. I mean, the team at RCS is a great team of people who go and work for RCS. Some would say this would be a less good thing, but actually it's a really good thing for people who go there, stay there, and there's plenty of longevity and you get consistency with staff. And the market share that RCS owns now is immense, you know, obviously not just in the UK, but throughout the world. And their products have moved on from Selectra and Master Control, and their more current products are G Selectra and Zeta. And I've sort of had a look at both those products, and they're impressive, and yeah, I think they're in a really good place to continue. I think the market share that we had when I was working there, or towards the end, was something like 93% of radio stations in the UK, and I include sort of Southern Ireland in that as well, actually had more than one RCS product in their building.
So on to Arqiva. What was the attraction of that move for you, Ben?
So Arqiva is where I've been for the last 5 years, and it's been a great company to work for. How that opportunity came about, Paul Eaton phoned me up at RCS and said, look, we need to do something about improving our relationship with our customers. And I've been told that you're the man that might be able to help us do that. And the customer base remained exactly the same for me. And it was a very easy transition, Trevor, from moving from RCS into Arqiva. And you know, the customers, I think, thought it was a brave move, but they understood my desire to move across and to continue to provide, you know, fantastic customer service with the team of people who I sort of handpicked when I joined Arqiva.
Now, you're well placed to tell us from your new perspective as you leave Arqiva, how well is DAB doing? How close are we to digital switchover and all those things that maybe 5 or 10 years ago we thought would have happened by now?
I think we're really close. I think the thing that amazes me at Arqiva is we probably still get an inquiry, a new inquiry, every week from somebody wanting to launch a new digital radio service. Now, obviously, inquiries don't always materialize into services, and we all know that, but the passion around DAB and the fact that it's different and the fact that there is huge variety really is immense. And I think the car manufacturers have really helped this, and now with, you know, the amount of DAB radios coming as standard in new cars, you know, certainly in the car I'm in now, you know, it's DAB all day long. There's a massive selection of stations. And the quality, I think, and I'm not just saying this because I work for Arqiva, but the quality of the signal is so much better than it was.
We heard comments from the groups, didn't we, about the figures for the new stations last week. Your partners in D2, Arqiva, are. What was the feeling at Arqiva about the success of D2 so far?
I think we're absolutely delighted about the success of D2. I mean, we launched that multiplex, you know, almost at full capacity. We had a waiting list and have a waiting list of people who want to go on to that multiplex. So, you know, we're delighted with how that's gone. And, you know, we feel very proud as a business to have brought that to the UK radio airwaves. It's a fantastic place.
Let me touch on a couple of things that you've done aside from Arqiva and RCS. What's this events company that you run?
That's been in the background for some time. And what that is a company where I have a hand in organising some sort of large corporate parties. And I'm involved in booking DJs to perform at sort of big end of sales conference parties, that kind of thing, and I'm doing that less now because, you know, clearly I've got a lot going on at Arqiva and a lot going on with my family. But I still very occasionally myself get asked to DJ, and maybe not many people know this, but I do still get asked to do it, and I do occasionally turn up and DJ at certain events. So it's something I enjoy, but I'm enjoying less as I get older.
And haven't you also done a bit of techie work in your time, helping people build small stations?
Yes, that's right. I mean, there were when I owned a business called The Audio Connection, which was the original distributor for the Enco DAB product, we were quite successful in winning a number of the what were known as the Sally licenses back in the day, where we provided a turnkey studio build, and we did that for South City FM in Southampton, and for Win FM in Winchester. And yeah, we did a number of studio builds, and that was a really enjoyable, exciting time. You'll remember that, where there was, you know, so many new licenses that were launching. You know, you almost couldn't get the kit and you couldn't build the stations quick enough.
So you've said you're leaving radio, Ben. Are you able to tell us what you're going on to do?
I think, you know, at the moment, I've got a couple of things that I'm thinking about doing. I think for me, I've always wanted to have equity in a business, Trevor, and I think that's got to be key in whatever I go into. And I'm talking to a number of people about a number of opportunities, and I've also managed to secure some funding from some venture capitalists who are looking to back me and looking to support me in what I do going forward. So it's a really exciting time, and I'm hungry for that next opportunity.
I'm sure that whilst you may be saying goodbye to radio, radio won't say goodbye to you. You'll be welcome back at awards and conferences, and we hope to see you soon, and we wish you well, Ben.
Thank you very much. I think when I spoke to Siobhan at the Radio Centre, you know, she was immensely kind and gracious, and we talked about the Arkiva Awards next year, and I actually look forward to coming along as a guest some of these events that I've had a hand in organising, and just sitting back and just in enjoying it and just observing and consuming some of those events in what is a great industry that I've had a fantastic time in.
Thank you for talking to the Radio Today programme. Ben Hart, this is the weekly podcast from Radio Today. Let's catch up with the news now. Here's Stuart Clarkson.
Broadcast Bionics, solutions for radio, sponsors the Radio Today programme.
Thank you, Trevor. This week's big stories in the industry. TalkSport has done deals to extend its Premier League commentaries to China, Mexico, Bahrain and Nigeria. The station has the rights to broadcast all 380 matches in any language to listeners outside the UK and Ireland. Staying with the new football season, two new names for the football coverage on 5 Live this term. Former England player Jermaine Genus joins to host Friday nights with Darren Fletcher, and BBC Radio Wales weekday presenter Jason Mohammed takes over from Darren on Saturday nights 6:06 alongside Robbie Savage. 5 Live's also dropped its non-league football show after 4 years on Sunday mornings. It was on BBC London for 6 years before switching to 5 Live. Instead, the show is going to become online only, with the indie producer Jibba Jabba making it exclusively for Audio Boom. From Audio Boom to Melvin O'Doom, the Kiss Breakfast presenter, one of the names announced this week for the new series of Strictly Come Dancing on BBC One. He follows in the dance steps of other radio folk to do Strictly, including Alla Jones, Gloria Honeyford, Zoe Ball, Lisa Snowden, Vanessa Felt, Scott Mills and Jeremy Vine. It's the end of an era at Jazz FM as the station drops presenters from its nighttime schedule. Claire Anderson's Late Lounge is dropped, while Helen Mayhew on Dinner Jazz is replaced by Mark Walker. 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. becomes non-stop jazz, soul and blues, while Funky Sensation makes a return to the station with John Osborne on Saturday evenings. And good luck to pop prince Kevin Hughes, who's gone back to his Welsh roots this week, taking over Drive on Heart South Wales. He replaces Jason Harold, who moves to weekends after many years on Real Radio and before that Red Dragon. Kevin has spent the last 7 years as Global's showbiz reporter and previously did Total Access on Capital. And you might remember him as well from the Music Control Network evening show on the GCAP network. That's the latest from radiotoday.co.uk. I'm Stuart Clarkson.
Thank you, Stuart. David Lloyd's Radio Moments next.
Your best content, shareable and discoverable on any platform. Oasis from Broadcast Bionics helps you build a closer relationship with your listeners. Welcome to the social studio at bionics.co.uk.
Radio Moments, David Lloyd. It's 14 years this week since this station arrived.
This is the home of new black music. Also coming up, we're going to be talking to some of the daytime crew from One Extra as well, and also One Extra history. We didn't just bang this together. Find out how we got to this point. The history is of One Extra is coming up a bit later on as well.
Enough of that. We want some more dubplates.
You got another one?
More.
You heard of that crew called Demlock?
Yeah.
What's going to make this station unique are the people running it and the people working for it. They're all 100% dedicated to music. They're lovers of the music.
I love you.
I think we'll be major players in the field of black music in the UK, if not the player in the field.
The arrival of One Extra from the BBC this week in 2002, codenamed Network Y. This week is a famous one in radio history, for on the 14th of August 1967, the pirate radio stations which had changed the face of British radio were largely silenced by the new law.
During the past 3 years, the pace and interest in radio has more than trebled, and the sales of radios have quadrupled. Offshore has been directly responsible.
So, although I've only been associated with Radio London for something like 2 weeks, I feel as sad as everybody else that it's coming off the air. It's been a part of an era that has proved something in broadcasting, especially in this, the United Kingdom.
Thank you very much, Tommy. And indeed, many of the people who will be sad to lose Radio London are the people who have been able to sell their products over our station.
One station famously continued, and that was Caroline. Johnny Walker flew the flag.
They stand on the deck waving to the millions of people who line the Thames. This time the tears flooding from their eyes are tears of happiness. The insurmountable odds have been surmounted. They reunite with their families, with their friends, with their loved ones. We are near the end of our story. London skyline has a new landmark pointed toward the heavens. Caroline's aerial. At last, beaming out its love and music to a free and peaceful nation. We have overcome. The battle is over. Free radio becomes a way of life, but never taken for granted. For no man will ever forget Monday, August the 14th, 1967.
Caroline continues this week in 1967. But it was never to be quite the same. The ship had to be served from overseas, which brought its problems. Roger Day.
Well, of course, we didn't get the daily tender. You know, we used to get two tenders a week, and supplies used to run low very quickly. We didn't get fresh milk for a start. We had to eat the long life milk, which is appalling stuff. If anyone's tried it, you know, we just missed the contact because we didn't see many. Whereas on the tender, there's always people coming out to see how we were. Lots of mail coming out. The mail still came, but it was delayed.
Roger Day remembering this week in 1967. Radio 1 was set to replace the pirate stations, borrowing many of their presenters and their jingles too. And Radio 1 had some great jingles over the years, didn't they? Until this week, 4 years ago.
Radio 2 has just had a brand new package done, and they're fabulous, and they were done in this country. A lot of stations don't use jingles at all, but I really think they're making a slight mistake here. I might be wrong. I think the singing jingles are just fantastic. They just give that station that fresh sound. You get a message across. It's called branding.
The end of traditional jingles on Radio 1. So they said anyway, this week in 2012. 1977 now, and a dramatic announcement on radio stations worldwide.
We've just had reports confirming the death of Elvis Presley, who died in Memphis at the age of 42. He was rushed to a hospital in Memphis with respiratory trouble. He died of heart failure. We have no further news on this. As soon as we get details, naturally we'll give them to you. And Tony Prince will be talking in just a moment, but we'll carry on with the rest of the news now. National Front Leader...
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Tony Prince. 15 minutes ago, I walked into the studio here in Luxembourg, and Mark Wesley imported the news on me that the Daily Mirror had confirmed to him that Elvis Presley has died in the United States of America. Well, maybe you know, maybe you don't know, that this radio station was the first radio station in Europe to ever feature the man and his music. Maybe you also know that I am probably one of his biggest fans in the world. I met him twice. I've interviewed him twice. I've introduced him on stage in Las Vegas at the Hilton Hotel. And I've just had a little cry downstairs because it's like losing a father to me, a son. It's really deep down inside, and I know many of you will be feeling the same way.
The death of Elvis, as reported on Radio Luxembourg. 26 years ago, Radio 2 at last said farewell to its medium wave frequencies, continuing just on DAB and FM. Radio
2. Hello there. This is Jimmy Young on Radio 2 Medium Wave. And if you're wondering where all your regular Radio 2 programs have got to, well, they're all now over on the FM wave band, where, of course, it's business as usual. Now, from August the 27th, this medium wave frequency is where you'll find your new station for sport and education. That's Radio 5. However, if you want to hear your Radio 2 favourites, then join us now by switching to the FM wave band. You'll find that we're the first station on the dial. We're between 88 and 91 FM.
Farewell to Radio 2 Medium Wave. One famous programme on Radio 2 was this long-running comedy series, The Clitheroe Kid. This week in 72, we heard the last episode.
Here is Jimmy Clitheroe as the Clitheroe Kid with Peter Sinclair, Patricia Burke, Danny Ross and Diana Day in...
Licked by a Stamp.
I remember hearing that sick tune, Family Lunches, Brussels Sprout Smell and the Clitheroe Kid. It ended on Radio 2 this week in 1972. After 15 years, the actor who played Jimmy Clitheroe was 50 by the end.
Now, if you'll excuse me...
So with National Transcommunications pulling the plug on Manchester's Sunset Radio 23 years ago...
Shout out to Phil Bradshaw and his coaches, what takes us to sequins every Saturday night.
The death of the second ever chart presenter, Alan Dell, 21 years ago...
We, over here, have produced our own indigenous rock and roll.
And Hull's first radio station, 6KH, coming on air 92 years ago...
He made really, I think, quite an impression. He got a lot of talented amateurs, let's call them that, round him.
Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Radio Moments.
Thank you, David Lloyd. Also, Stuart Clarkson and Hayley Hayes. The Radio Today programme is a TDC production. We'll be back next week. Cheers.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.